Hello again, listeners, as we begin the second of a three-part series with Seth Klein. Seth Klein is director of Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives here in BC. He has graciously agreed to share his knowledge and opinion on a number of policy issues, such as austerity, taxation, and inequality in BC, Canada, and abroad. This week, we're going to focus on taxes and taxation policy. Hello again, Seth.
Hi.
Death and taxes are supposed to be two unavoidables of life. Death is. However, taxes seem to be another thing. We have sin taxes, income taxes, gas taxes, and of course, GST, PST, and HST. Unlike most other nations with consumption taxes, it's sort of incorporated into the price, whereas here it's listed as a separate item on our bill, as if the Canadian government likes to rub our noses in the tax. I think it serves to vilify taxes and to ensure that to the Canadian public sees government as oppressive and taxes as ever present. BC is currently bracing itself for another major tax change as we dismantle the HST. Let's start with a basic question, one often exploited in the United States. When we say taxes, again, we seem to think income taxes, GST. Is that all there is? How else does the government earn money?
There are many different kinds of taxes. On the individual side, as you say, there's income taxes, sales taxes, property taxes, carbon taxes in British Columbia. Then there's the corporate income taxes. But if you looked, for example, in the BC budget, you would also see resource royalties as an important source of income. Used to traditionally be forestry, but these days it's more so natural gas royalties. These are rents that private corporations are paying for accessing what is a publicly owned resource. There's transfers from other levels of government. There's transfers from crown corporations and the money that they make, which speaks to the fact that sometimes it makes sense for us to create an enterprise collectively, call it a crown corporation, and it can be a source of income to the public treasury as well.
But crown corporations are always supposed to be inefficient, isn't that true?
So the saying goes, but we in British Columbia have had crown corporations historically that have been a very important source of income, like BC Hydro, like ICBC, even while providing us with among the lowest electricity rates and among the lowest car insurance rates in North America.
I would agree. One of the things, though, that I'm thinking, people often say, well, I want to pay less taxes, and not realizing that ultimately they do sort of pay it with things like user fees, or, you know, when you go to get your license, they raise the price of how much it costs to get your license. So it's, you're paying one way or the other, it seems.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just I would just push back a little bit on your first point. I actually think a lot of people do get this. You know, everyone likes to gripe about their taxes, and if given a choice, they'd like to pay less tax if that could come without a price. But in the polling that I've looked at, you actually see a public that is prepared to pay more in taxes. They do understand the connection between taxes and the things that we provide for one another together. And if they felt like paying more would address key social and environmental problems, they would be willing to pay more. That's tempered somewhat by a perception that is well-grounded that the system is not fair the way it should be, that not everyone is pulling their weight the way that they should be. And so that complicates matters, and it complicates people's perceptions and their willingness to ante more into the collective pot. But very often, as you were just saying, these questions aren't about, you know, do you want to pay more or less? Nothing in society is free, and so it's just at its heart, the taxation question really is, what are the things that we want to pay for on our own, and what are the things that we want to pay for together? Our experience as a society, when you look at things like healthcare, is that there's plenty of things that are fine to leave to the private sector. But there are other things where our experience tells us we provide these things to each other more equitably and more efficiently when we do it together through our taxes.
We hear in the news that the wealthy people, and I must admit this is usually in the American news, but that wealthy people, the 1%, if you will, actually account for the majority of taxes collected. Is this true, and is this reflective of the real state of things?
The 1% don't account for a majority of the taxes. The top 10% account for a majority of taxes, or thereabout, slightly, but only because they have so much money. Those statistics that you hear are a reflection of the fact that we've seen such an explosion in inequality. In the 10 years before the recession in Canada, a third of all of the income growth went to the top 1%. So, you know, Do they pay more in taxes as a result? Yes, of course. But the way that we appropriately measure taxes isn't in total dollars. When we think about taxes and tax fairness, what we're interested in is actually what share of your income are you paying in taxes? And most Canadians have the perception that we have a tax regime that's broadly speaking progressive, meaning the more income you make, not only do you pay more dollars in taxes, but you pay a higher rate of your income, a higher percent. And that's not actually true. The income tax system is progressive. We have a few tax brackets, and so it's progressive. But all the other taxes that we pay, sales, property, payroll, et cetera, are regressive, meaning they hit lower income households harder. And when you roll them all together and look at who's paying what, as we've done at the CCPA, what you find in Canada is that the top 1% actually pay the lowest overall tax rate in the country, less than the top, but then the bottom 10%. And in the BC context, because we've looked at this as well, we have an out and out regressive tax system, which means it's like a downward sloping line, if you will, on a chart. The more money you make in British Columbia, the lower your overall tax rate. You'd be paying more in income taxes. But when you look at all taxes, and because we've shifted from income taxes to sales taxes and other forms of fees, the wealthy have actually been paying a declining share.
From what I've also heard, personal income tax makes up a significant share of the tax revenue. But that if you go back to the 50s or 60s, about a third of government income came from corporations. Now it's closer to about 5%. Is that true? And is it sort of a red herring to worry about corporate taxes? I mean, they are people too, aren't they?
Oh, well, I think we should be worried about corporate taxes. I can't remember the federal rates off the top of my head, but I can tell you that in British Columbia, corporate taxes, corporate income taxes account for about 8% of government revenues, of taxation revenues alone, actually. If it was all revenues, it would be less than that. And this, just to give you some examples of the shifts that we've seen in the last 10 years, you know, the Liberals pride themselves on this decline in the personal income tax rate, and there was. Their reliance on personal income taxes between 2000 and 2010 dropped by about a third. But they actually now get more money from sales taxes than they do from personal income taxes. And one of the stats I find staggering, they get more money now from MSP premiums than they do from corporate income taxes. Wow. And I think that's outrageous, actually, because the MSP premium is the most regressive tax in our whole system. It's not only that people are all paying the same rate. After a basic income threshold, everyone's paying the same dollar amount. A family with $50,000 is paying the same amount as a family with $500,000. And that's an ever-growing share of government revenues. And they've been increasing it by 6% a year.
Well, that also shows there's a huge difference between sort of the technical tax rate and the effective tax rate, right? I mean, like everyone's sort of famous to hear about how Warren Buffett says that he pays less taxes than his secretary.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things going on here. So first of all, there's this shift that's happened from the corporate sector to individuals, and then from upper income individuals to middle and modest income individuals. And what you're now raising around effective tax rates is really important, because people walk around thinking that they pay a certain tax rate because that's what it looks like on paper. You know, they fill out their tax form and they think, oh, my rate is 7% for my BC income taxes. But the system is filled with all of these deductions and credits. And you have to account for those to get at your effective tax rate. But now there's some deductions that most people use, like, you know, RSP deductions. Well, actually, most people don't use that one, or charitable deductions or childcare deductions. But most of the tax deductions in our system can only be taken advantage of by the wealthy and by businesses. And so when you look at the effective tax rate, it becomes much less progressive.
So, okay, I'm going to put on my sort of Stephen Colbert hat for the moment. But isn't that actually good? I mean, people have argued that tax breaks, the wealthy and corporations in particular, create jobs and that, you know, it increases tax revenue because you have more money in the economy that's being spent. The sort of trickle-down effect. I mean, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's not true. That's how the argument goes, but it's not borne out by the evidence. For example, look at the Canadian context for a moment, but this is borne out in British Columbia as well. We have seen a dramatic reduction in corporate income tax rates federally and provincially over the last 10 years. The whole object of the exercise was that if we lowered the corporate income tax rate, we would see a commensurate increase in investment in jobs, because that's what we actually want, right? And you actually look at the data and it's not there. Federally, across the country, the corporate sector is sitting on $500 billion in cash. They're not investing what they're saving. They have not reciprocated with their side of the deal here. And the same is true in British Columbia. And across the industrialized countries, by the way, if you were to plot the overall level of taxes against the overall level of economic performance according to, you know, the World Economic Competitive Index, you know what you would see? You would see nothing. There is no correlation between the overall level of taxes and economic performance.
So the whole story that, you know, we have one of the lowest and quote-unquote most competitive tax rates, if we mess with that, it would be doom and gloom for our economy.
Yeah. Well, we do have among the lowest corporate taxes, and we've gotten for it. All it does is starve the Treasury of money that it otherwise would have had to meet other needs and indeed to invest in things that would have an economic benefit.
This may be a bit tangential, but Canada has an exorbitant amount of foreign ownership in its industries. How much of that plays into this as money sort of leaving the country to corporate headquarters offshore or in other countries?
No, that's a real issue. In fact, there's an irony to the fact that, you know, Canada has a much lower corporate income tax rate than the United States does. But if you are a corporation that is operating in both countries, the way U.S. tax rules work, if you can show the Americans that you're paying a higher tax rate than you would be if you were in the States, then you don't have to pay taxes. But if you're paying a lower tax rate somewhere else, the United States claims the difference. So, you know, we've given a bunch of these corporations a tax break, and instead of it resulting in some economic benefits, it just means that they're paying a higher tax bill to the U.S.
So how can we improve things? I mean, I've heard of fair trade, but is there such a thing as fair taxes?
Yeah, well, we have proposed what we call a fair tax commission. In many respects, coming out of the whole fiasco of the HST, I think it's a real shame that we had this huge debate and a referendum all about a single tax. It would be far better if we had a really broad public conversation about the whole tax system, in which we put the whole tax regime on the table, all taxes, personal taxes, corporate taxes, resource royalties, and we engage the public in a deliberation about what do we want to pay for together and how do we want to raise it, and allowed people to engage in trade-offs in an interesting discussion the way they did in the conversation on health a few years ago, or the Citizens Assembly on electoral reform a few years before that. And I think if we trusted people to engage in a deliberation like that, we would be pleased with the outcome.
Well, I hope I have the same optimistic. I noticed what happened to proportional representation didn't seem to take hold, even though it was very popular in many ways. I'd like to thank you for, again, showing up in our virtual studio and giving us this insightful, informative discussion about taxation. I would ask you, is there any parting message you'd like to send to our audience regarding taxes and how they can be involved in these economic issues?
Well, I would just say that if you look at the key challenges before us, whether it's rising to the challenge of climate change or ending poverty, I would say something that most politicians would be reluctant to say, which is that we actually need to increase taxes and revenues. We need to put more into the collective pot to actually rise to these challenges, and we can afford to do it. And spending it on meeting those challenges would actually be good for the economy. And so we just need to figure out what the most fair and effective way is to raise those revenues. And that's something our office has been working on and will continue to work on. And people can find that on our site, which is policyalternatives.ca.
Thank you very much. And I agree with you that we are much stronger united than divided. And that will be our discussion for next week when we talk about inequality.